It's really been a thrill for me to be here this week. It's been very special. I've had a great time, a really great time. And I think you noticed, we laughed a lot at our table. We had our brother Richard Fogel and his wife Wally and Ruth, and it was so, so good. For me, being here this week is like dusting off things that I've known for a long time and shining them up and employing them again in full vigor. I'm so thankful for the Lord for this week. But I've been wondering, have any of you ever lived in or near a desert? Sarah? Where was that? In Nigeria. It's dry. It's barren. Sandy. As soon as the wind blows, dust is all over your furniture.
Very, very hot.
It's very hot. Very hot. So you've been there too?
No, because I was born in Arizona. We have deserts over there.
Okay. All right. Desert country. And all sorts of creatures live there, too, that, you know, like snakes, right?
Yeah.
And
they have lizards.
And lizards.
Yes.
Okay. God sent me to India. The place where he sent me to was semi-arid. I mean, there was some water, but it was a lot of this stuff that whatever grew was just this scraggly stuff, unless some trees were planted, which we planted, and it grew. But we had the cobras in the ground. But we had so many children coming into the school, they usually stayed down there because of all those feet that were stamping on the ground. But when it was quiet, like over a holiday, oh, they come out. The cobras and the lizards. We had one lizard called a beach cobra, which had all these spines on the back, and his bite was also very poisonous. Hey, that's a desert for you. I heard there were hyenas around. We had an animal called a concachura. I think that's the Hindi word. I don't know what the English word is. But it was about this long, had about 1,000 legs, and sort of segmented body, and it could crawl across the room at 50 miles an hour. Oh, yeah, we didn't like them. We usually went after them with our shoes. How about scorpion? Mm-hmm. They were around too. Yeah. Brother John is squinting up his face. That didn't bother me so much. I mean, of course, the snakes, you know, I like them at a distance. And when somebody else killed them and things like that, concachura, I didn't like. Sister Ancha came. She didn't like these lizards that climb up on the ceiling and then all of a sudden drop because they can't hold on anymore. Right on your pillow, next to your head. They don't bite you or anything, you know. I had to take care of a lot of flies. I kept telling her, don't worry about those. They eat the flies that are all around, too. But that was the physical environment. It, however, reflected the spiritual environment. It was dry. You have privilege to come to a place like this. We have water flowing. Where there's something happening. We went to this little chapel. It was a mission school situation. We had staff, mostly young girls like these girls here, late teens, early 20s, and some people from town that came. And it was so dry. They had, over the years, just things had gotten into a rut and a routine, and there wasn't that obedience and that faith that brought life. It was so dried up. What do you do in that kind of situation. Can God cause a river to flow in a desert? Is it possible for him to do that?
Yes.
You believe so?
He can do anything.
He can do anything.
Anything he wants to do.
But how does he do it?
Because he's omnipotent.
Yes. He needs us. I'm so thankful for other missionaries. Our sister Margaret Michelson was there. I was new. And these older two other women. It was so hot in that place that during the months of May and June, we would escape to the hills, the Himalayas. Himalayas is what we say, which is the way you should say it, because the first him means snow, and alya means place, place of snow. So maybe you'll say Himalayas from now on. But anyhow, that's where we went. It was a little cooler up there. It was the foothills. Foothills. You know what foothills were? 6,000 feet high. Those were the foothills. But anyhow, we went there, and we would get together, and that was such a burden on our hearts. Such a burden on our hearts. That there was such dryness. Nobody was getting saved. Nothing. God was not working. And Lord, we know you can work. You are omnipotent. We know that in the desert, you can bring a river. Perhaps your life is like a desert. Perhaps you feel like you're in a desert. God can bring rivers of water into the desert. And we started praying together, and I tell you, it wasn't easy praying. It felt like you were digging in very rocky, sandy soil. You didn't have any great exuberance, but we kept at it. And thankfully, I don't know if I would have kept at it if I were alone. That's why I said two of you agree on anything. Sister Margaret and I agreed, and we fortunately had these other missionaries that agreed too. And that we agreed. When you find it hard to pray, get somebody else to pray with you. Have a prayer partner. We did that when we were in college, in a varsity. I'll meet you in this classroom, it's empty, we'll pray together. You can meet somebody, pray together with them. And we prayed. We prayed every summer, consistently for three summers, as far as I can remember. And then in the beginning of, I think it was, I'm very poor with dates, but it was in the beginning of the 80s, in that little chapel with the Indian preacher up there, it was New Year's Day, and he picked out a very good verse. And it's in Isaiah 43, 18. If you want to look at it as well, I'll be reading it. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Now our staff were young women from Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Pentecostal, didn't make any difference. They were all the same backgrounds. They had no idea what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've heard a little bit about it. Maybe you have no idea either. But that didn't matter. We had an idea. Us missionaries did. And in that meeting, we were sitting, the Indian preacher was up there, and Margaret heard the Lord through that word. And she said to me, the Lord said that. The Lord said that. Well, here we have a word to hold on to. And we did. What does it say? I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way and rivers in the desert. So we continued to pray together and believe God. Here we had his word, and God will, as you pray for what you desire, I trust you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It will turn the desert into a garden. It will truly revolutionize your whole life and your whole experience. It will make Jesus so real to you. So we continue to pray. And we preached the word. Lots of the women that came didn't even know what it meant to be saved. And they responded to that message when we had opportunity to preach and to teach. And they found the Lord. And we always worked together with the Indian preachers and evangelists that were there. And God did an interesting thing. He sent a man who preached very strongly on baptism. Now, if you're a Lutheran, you don't believe in baptism. If you're a Methodist, you don't believe in baptism either. If you're a Catholic, you don't believe in baptism. But the Bible believes in baptism, water baptism, that once we give our lives to Christ and we know that he has forgiven us our sins, we should follow him in obedience in baptism. And so the opportunity were given to these teachers. And I know many, you know, thought back, well, what's my pastor going to say? What's my parents going to say? But some of them decided, yes, we will be baptized. And we had an interesting way of having our clothes washed. We had a woman who was a washerwoman, and she came and washed them. Now you say, that's nice. You know, somebody wash your clothes for you. But we had so much else to do, we didn't have time to wash our clothes. And we had this big kind of tub. It must have been 4 feet by 3 feet and about 3 feet deep in the garden. And that's where she washed the clothes. A big stone next to it. I mean, she'd rub the soap into it on the stone, dip it in the water, and then smack it on the stone to get all the stuff out. And we'll close out pretty fast. But anyhow, into that, we filled it up with water, and a number of the girls were baptized by this Indian pastor. And one of them came out of the water speaking in tongues. Wow. Was there excitement? But that was just a little drop. And Sister Margaret had to go home. Sister Ancha came. And we were still expecting the Lord to visit us. And he did. We didn't have to do a thing about it. Ancha and I were sitting. We had a great big bungalow. How many rooms? About 10. And that's everything took place in there besides our living in there. But the girls lived off about 50 feet in what we call a hostel, and they ate together around a dining room table. And, you know, what is your Chinese character for an argument? At least I heard this was so. Do you know? Two women under one house, under one roof. So we're hearing this noise, and this was quite frequent because when we're not filled with his spirit and living according to his word, well, you know, the flesh manifests itself. And, you know, well, lots of arguments that we had to settle. But when I came out to the yard between us, I said, that does not sound like argument. And there they were. There they were all around this table, praising the Lord. You could hardly get them to open their mouth. Previous to this, they were praising the Lord. The Lord had come and begun to help them open their mouths. If you don't open your mouth, you won't get filled. The Lord says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. You have great opportunity to do that here. You start opening your mouth. open your mouth and praise the Lord. Give your lips to praise to him. And there they were praising the Lord. But that wasn't the end. A few months later, we did have someone else come. And I had written to Margaret about that time, and she was very excited. But now she was back. I could still remember it. It was such a marvelous time. We had this, she was a very simple Indian woman and came and gave her testimony and was not really a speaker as such, but she had faith.
Excuse me, are you a missionary?
Yes, I was a missionary to India.
I thought so.
Okay, and she had faith and she spoke to the girls one night and the next night she said, "The Lord told me when I was praying this morning, I won't have to speak." She was very happy about that. So we came to the chapel, and we all sat down, and we sang a few songs, and it all began. I don't know quite how. The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit poured on us. Like the monsoon rains with never stop for days and days and days and days and days. And it came down and it came and it flooded that place. Here's one girl singing, speaking in tongues. Another one singing another one. Another one holding onto her chair because the Lord is shaking her, but she's so afraid to let go. She would have danced down the aisles. Another one doing something else, and another one doing something else, but all worshiping and loving Jesus. He had come. He had fulfilled his promise. He came. He came into our midst. That meeting went on for so long. The next day when we got together, we sang a few songs, and it continued. It didn't stop. We had to work in between. There was school. It didn't stop. It went on for 3 days. Right into the weekend. Right into the weekend. The Acts. Did you read Acts 2? Have you found him? But God comes. And he does something nobody can comprehend. But they comprehend very well when it happens. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, we just sat there, us missionaries. We just sat and looked, and we said, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord." God sent a river into that desert. He flooded that place. I remember the Sunday night meeting. Well, it was a prayer meeting. We came, and that was a little bit quiet in the beginning, and then there was a little worship, and then God sent holy laughter. Everyone was laughing, just laughing from down in the depths of their spirit, laughing and laughing and laughing. They had such a good time, filled with laughter. He filled my mouth with laughter. What a wonderful thing. That was just a flood of the Holy Spirit. Do you want him? He knows how to make it laugh. He knows how to make life worth living. He knows how to take those dry, dry places and make them alive unto him. But the most wonderful thing was afterwards, when we came to church, we could worship the Lord. It changed the whole complexion of that mission. When we came together, they knew how to worship now, these girls. They knew how to find God, and they gave themselves to him. And the Lord moved in our midst, and things were made right. We had a woman come who was very good with children, and she worked in the school for a number of days with the school children. And she came, and she, you know, of course, stayed with us in the bungalow. And she says, "I have never seen a hostel filled with young women like this hostel. What is this? What's going on here? I have never seen women live together so peaceably and so lovingly." That's what happens. What Brother John was talking about. God starts applying the word and we start applying it. God sends rivers into the wilderness. Will you start digging? Will you start believing him for his promise? We have, as I was sitting in there, we have begun to sense that again, that hunger is coming, that desire, that God will come into our midst, into our fellowship, and send those rivers of living water and fill us all anew and in a mighty way. He doesn't do things the same way. He never does. He's always very unique in what he does. But he will keep his promise. I will send rivers. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. And this one will say, I am the Lord's. And another will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Because the King of Israel, the Redeemer, I'm the first and the last, and besides me there is no other. Oh God, may you come among us. Give us again. Let it take as long. Let us dig. Let us dig and seek for you and find you as you can be found. We need it. We need it, Lord. We need you to come. We need you to fill us and to transform us and to make our lives to reflect your glory, truly to reflect your glory, not just to be nice people. We know you have done many good things. We know you've done many good things this week, but we know there's always more. There's always more, and we're longing for that more, Lord Jesus. We're longing to have the fullness of your Spirit moving us, motivating us, filling us, using us, transforming our lives and our churches and our whole environment. In Jesus' name we pray.
Given was open your mouth wide and I will fill it.
Hallelujah.
And we want to be obedient and respond to the call of God. And so could we just lift our voices to God tonight and cry unto him, oh Jesus, won't you come? Won't you come, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Oh, we worship you, dear Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, you are worthy all praise, all glory, all honor. Oh, we worship you. I praise you, Lord. I praise. Also, the question was asked, does your soul feel like a desert? Are you in a dry place? Well, there's a river flowing that brings life, that causes the desert to flourish and to blossom like a rose. And so the Lord is speaking to your heart and my heart. Oh, Jesus, we want those rivers of living water to flow. Yes. Lord, that's your promise, that out of our inmost being, rivers of living water.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And Lord, you were speaking of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Oh,
oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I just feel I ought to challenge you or to invite you. There's a song in our books, number 125. And I know that when the Lord speaks to us and He calls us, it's not to disappoint us. It's not to make us feel bad, but it's to call us to Himself, to rise up in faith, and to say, Lord, I believe the promise is for me. And so if you feel that the Lord is speaking to you tonight, and you feel in your heart that you'd like to respond and say, yes, Lord, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe you have in the past and you feel that it's not the same, that somehow you've lost out. Well, God is here again tonight to fill us all, to fill us all with his Holy Spirit. And so I just like to ask you before God, if this is your desire, really, if this really is your heart's desire, I'd like you just to stand and sing with me this song. Is anyone like that? You know that God is speaking to you. And in faith, you want to say, yes, Lord, I want what you have for me. I might not understand it all, but Lord, I want more than I have. And that act of standing is saying, Lord, here I'm bringing my vessel. I'm bringing my vessel, this temple that you have said is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, take possession. Take control of me, Lord Jesus. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to live for this world. I want to live for you. I want this body to be your temple. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves to you. Oh, God, 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 you must do the work.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, we offer ourselves, Lord. Empty us of ourselves, that you might fill us with yourself. Oh, Jesus, 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 we've asked the Lord to cleanse us. We've asked him to come in as Savior. And that's how this song begins. Are you looking for the fullness? Claim the promise. Bring your empty earthen vessels clean through Jesus' precious blood. If he's cleansed you, it's because he wants to fill you. Oh, Jesus, 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 create a faith in our hearts, Lord, for all that you have, all that you've purchased for me. So let's sing this together, and let's just expect the Lord to fulfill his promise tonight and in the days to come as we continue to seek him. What will God do? What will God do? Let's sing this together.
Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Claim the promise of the Father, come according to his word in the blessed all-time way. He will fill your heart today to overflowing as the Lord commanded you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power. Bring your empty earthen vessels clean through Jesus' precious blood. Come ye needy one and all, and in human consecration wait before the throne of God till the Holy Ghost shall have fall. He will fill your heart today to overflowing as the Lord commanded you.
Bring your vessels, not a few.
He will fill your heart to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power. Like the cruse of oil unfailing is his grace forevermore, and his love unchanging still. And according to his promise with the Holy Ghost and power, he will every vessel fill. He will commanded you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power. Oh, Jesus, 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 won't you come, dear Lord? Won't you come, dear Lord? I praise you, Lord, I praise you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, won't you come, dear Lord? Oh, I want you, Lord. I desire you to fill me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I praise you, Lord. Jesus, I praise you, Lord. Just find a place of prayer. Let's just wait upon our God tonight. Let's continue to call upon Him. Oh, Jesus, 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 come to us, my Lord. Come, Lord, in your promised fullness, dear Lord. Oh,